When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
All right, welcome everyone to the Rink Rat Report podcast. Doing another, we've made it back to the playoffs. I mean, Leafs fans kind of take it for granted. We're back in the playoffs for what, the eighth time? I don't know how to count, since 2017. As always, joined by Jason, but we got special guest on today, Kevin Papetti. Kevin, how's it going?
Good. I think it's the best time of the year here, the first round of the playoffs. I mean, if you're a Leafs fan, you don't really get to see the other rounds all the time. But I think just having so many games on at once, and then you add baseball to the mix starting up, I think it's the best time of the year for sports, in my opinion.
It's the best time of year. Basketball, baseball, hockey, all in the playoffs. We've got the basketball play-ins. I mean, I'm super hyped, of course, for the Leafs playoffs. Joe, I just wanted to mention, we've been doing this for, this is the fourth year of playoff previews for us over here at the Rink.
And they're staggering. They're staggering the playoff times this time.
Finally. I didn't know that. That's amazing. So it took them NHL's been around for, to learn how, like, hey, stagger, do what the NFL does. Maybe people will watch all the games, but anyways, I'm hyped for the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Our first one we did, I think that was Montreal.
I think so.
Oof. Anyways,
a lot of bad takes in that one, but
yeah, this is technically in the existence of this podcast. This is the second time I've done Bruins. But honestly, oh boy, just the jitters every single time. Excited for playoff hockey. Excited for that first roar of the crowd when they drop the puck. Coming way too soon. So we have Leafs. We have Boston Bruins. We're going to take a look. How do they stack up? How do the Toronto Maple Leafs stack up against the Boston Bruins? We're not going to use like a head-to-head record this year because fuck off with that metric. It's nonsense. We're going to take a look at goaltending. We're going to take a look at defense. We're going to take a look at forwards, X-factors, all that good stuff. But first, we want to give a shout-out to our friends at Manscaped. I don't even have to read the ad read. We've gone through so many Manscaped ad reads. I've never had a bad thing to say about Manscaped. So go to manscaped.com, promo code RINKRAT. That is RINKRAT. So Kevin, where do you want to start? What part of the game do you want to start with? Goaltending, defense, forwards? You get the pick of the litter on this one.
I think just from an overall perspective, I think the Leafs have a better chance against Boston than Florida. So I think that's just the first thing that comes to my mind. I was looking at Boston, their last two games there, and they played Washington, played Ottawa. Boston really controlled their own destiny, and it seemed like they didn't care whether they played the Leafs or not. Obviously, the Leafs finished ahead of Tampa. You would have thought that they would have some motivation to play Tampa instead of Toronto, but I don't know if that's bulletin board material or what's going on there, but to me, I thought Florida's better, like the better team. I look at that roster, I look at the forward depth they have, and obviously the success last year. So I know there's going to be, you know, plenty of people in the city that don't want to say that, don't want to jinx it. Obviously last year, I think everyone wanted to play Florida instead of Boston, is the other way around, and didn't exactly turn out that well in round two. But I don't know. Like when I look at Florida's roster, when I look at Boston's roster, I just think Florida's is better, especially at forward. I think where the Leafs really have the edge here is at forward. I think obviously the goals against is going to be in more Boston's favor, but beyond Pasternak, like Marchand's 35, they just don't have the same depth they did last year. So I don't know. I think the Leafs should be favored. Yeah. In the betting markets.
I think the only reason why they're not favored right now is because like they do value home ice quite a bit, and the fourth game of home ice in game seven is like kind of what swings it, because it's so close. It's like around -120, like at some shops as low as -120. You can find +115s out there on the Leafs. I agree with you though. Like this forward depth is like, I'm just shocked at like how they score. You know, like I was looking at the Boston Bruins. I'm like, how do they score goals outside of basically David Pastrnak setting guys up, or their defense, Trent Frederick, or like, I mean, like we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, Joe, how we went through, like, was it Trent Frederick was their third highest scorer, like Danton Heinen's like their fifth highest goal scorer. Like, yes, they've got some crazy names throughout the list here of guys who score. It's like, I don't know how sustainable that is in the playoffs. I hope I don't get radioed for this. I hope no one clips this after the fact when we lose and those guys score 20 goals against us or whatever, if that ever happens. But I Kevin, I agree with you on that. It's like, I look at this team and I say, like, I'd much rather be playing them than playing Florida. Even if you look at the underlying numbers as well, Florida is one of the stronger teams. I believe they're first in expected goals percentage. They're top five in expected goals for, top five in expected goals against. They just did a lot of things really well this year, a lot deeper. And I mean, yeah, like, I just look at Boston and I see Zacha and Coyle, and I'm like, that's not Krejci and Bergeron anymore. That's Zacha and Coyle. It's a big difference there. So.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, but who's our third line center right now? Okay. You know, Holmberg, O'Reilly to Holmberg. It is a big step. And yeah, by that, I mean, you know, how many Swedish League championships does Ryan O'Reilly have? How many Swedish League MVPs, playoff MVPs does Ryan O'Reilly have? Playoff Holmberg, baby. Let's go. I do want to throw this out there. So the big thing with Boston, obviously, is their goaltending. Goaltending is fantastic in Boston. They have two goalies that they ride. Joe Haggerty had this to say. He's a Boston beat reporter. He said, Don Sweeney won't disclose the goalie rotation plan for the playoffs, but there is one. Our goalies know what the plan is. Performance and results will dictate some of this, but we know what the plan is. It sounds like they're rotating in this one. Any thoughts on that?
I could see it being like that case where if you win, you keep the net. If you lose, they make the switch. Obviously, like, there's going to be some exceptions to that. If someone stops 15 out of 16 and you lose 1-0, that goalie's probably playing again. See, I think the interesting part with Boston is you look at their record, you look at their points percentage, and this would be the 4-5 matchup in the East by points percentage, right? So it's not like, you know, some years when you have this playoff structure, you get like the 2-3 in round one. But this is like this should be the playoff matchup, I think. I think it's, the Leafs aren't in a worse position because of this playoff format. And one reason Boston got a lot of points is the fact that they have two good goalies, right? Like, they're both at the 9-14, 9-15. To me, having a strong backup goalie is not as important come playoff time. Now, obviously, there's going to be exceptions to that if one guy falters, if one guy gets hurt. But you look at like a team like Tampa, and like every year they won, like, it didn't matter who their backup goaltender was, right? Like, Vasilevsky just stole the show. Oftentimes, like, it's almost like having a bench, like a really good bench in the NBA, and you get to playoffs, and then they don't really play that as much anyways. I think that competitive advantage that Boston has with the two good goalies kind of gets mitigated a bit when there's no back-to-backs or very few back-to-backs. Unless someone gets hurt, then obviously you'd like to have the second goalie. But typically, I think the Leafs kind of have not an advantage per se, but I think the goaltending edge gets a little bit reduced when it's just starter versus starter rather than two goalies versus two goalies.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I was like ranting to my friends about this earlier. It's like, a lot is being said about the goaltending advantage for the Boston Bruins. Don't get me wrong, both Swayman on their own and Allmark on their own are better than both of our goalies, Joseph Woll and Ilya Samsonov. But I agree with what you said there, because unless there's an injury, you're kind of already behind the eight ball. It's like, okay, if Swayman starts and he falters, you switch up to Allmark. Okay, you have like a safety and an Allmark, but guess what? You're down a game in the series now. Like, you're at a disadvantage in those scenarios. And I mean, like, yeah, I love how like simpatico we are with that, because I was like going off about that today.
Well, even if a goalie falters, like if Allmark has a bad game one, if Swayman doesn't exist, let's say they just have like a you know, a normal backup, like there's nothing stopping from Allmark getting it back in game two or game three, right? And going on a run. So it's not like they have, like, I know they were very good last year. They had fine seasons this year, but I would rather play the team with the duo, like a good duo, rather than the one elite goalie, like a Hellebuyck, right? Absolutely. So yeah, exactly. I do think there's the goaltending, and they're so good at, like, they're so high up there in save percentage. I do think a little bit of that gets mitigated. They're still going to have a good goaltending, but hopefully it's just good goaltending and not great goaltending for the league's sake.
Exactly. I want to ask this question, though, because I'm curious, like, and Joel, I'll throw to you on this one because you're more of a goalie, because I'm always wondering about, like, the mentality behind goaltending, right? What's it like knowing that, like, you might get pulled if you don't play well? You might not be the starter next game if you don't play well, if that's the plan, or if the plan is even alternating each game. Does that throw you that? Like, I feel like that kind of throws you out of a rhythm a bit, especially, like, getting ready for games and things like that. Like, is there a mental side of this that might hinder the Boston Bruins? And then also, like, yeah, like, I guess, just mostly the mental side of things. It's hard.
Right? I understand what you're saying. It 100% could. And it's a really weird scenario. Like, I don't know how many other times, I can't think of a good example of a team where it was an actual, you're going into the playoffs, you have two very good goaltenders, and it's a debate. Who do you start? Last year's Vezina winner or this year's goalie who had better results in Jeremy Swayman there? Like, last year was Ullmark won the Vezina. You're starting him all the way through until you couldn't really anymore. Like, I just go back to, you remember when the Penguins won the Cup? Actually, both years that they won the Cup, 16 and 17, what happened with their goalie rotation? The first game of the playoffs that the Penguins played in 2016, who was their goaltender? Just a little trivia. Who played that game?
Fleury?
Jeff Zatkov. Okay. Jeff Zatkov, because I don't believe Murray was healthy. I can't remember if Murray was healthy. Fleury was injured, and it was Murray's net all the way up until Fleury was back and healthy. And then it was, ooh, okay, if Murray's playing well, though, if he falters, we'll put Fleury in. He had an okay game, and they just snapped, put Fleury in. Didn't work. They lost that game. Then they had to go back to Murray, and luckily it worked. But, like, it could have thrown things off a lot. And then the next year, they just did the complete opposite. They ran with Fleury until Murray came back. And then Fleury had an okay-ish game. Okay, we're going back to Murray. And then Murray took the ball and ran from there. So my point that I'm making is it could be okay, but it could also go sideways. There's no real direction, and there's no data to determine, hey, it's going to go this way. All I know is that it just puts a lot of stress on the coaching staff. So, imagine, picture this. Game one, say, okay, knock on wood, Leafs win 3-2, and Swayman stops 27 of 30, or 27 of 31. What the hell do you do from there?
But the Leafs are in a similar spot, I think. That's the only...
You think?
Yeah, no, Kevin, go ahead. Ooh.
I don't know who's starting game one. I
think they're going Samsonov.
It's tough, right? Because if you base it off of recent form, it's hard to justify Samsonov because it feels like he's kind of faltered towards the end. I've always liked the style of play of Joseph Hall over Ilya Samsonov.
It's just the issue is take point shots on Joseph Wall. He seems to be floating, he seems to be just like flinging an apple. I do not understand this guy. Had an awesome game against Florida and then just lets in a complete muffin from the blue line. But that's Joseph Wall, and that's been him for his whole career. But so, Kevin, you think there's a debate in terms of the goaltending in Toronto?
Yeah, I think if one goalie has regardless of who they start with, if someone has a bad game, I think you're going to strongly consider going the other way. I think Wall's the better goalie. It's tough because Samsonov just had such a weird season.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Where he went from one extreme to the other and then kind of fell back off again. I like Joseph Wall. Obviously, he does have a huge sample. He's hurt a lot of the season. But
I think
if one guy struggles, you're going to switch.
27 of 31, Leafs lose first game 4-2. What do you do?
I got to see the goals against. Like,
okay.
I hate the whole scouting the stat line of the goalies thing.
It's tough. But what about same game as game one last year for against Tampa?
Tampa goes 7-3.
7-3 loss, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll switch. Like, I think if that happens, if there's like six allowed, I think they're making the switch.
Okay. I'm like going to throw out a random number here. It's like Samsonov has to play at like a 6 out of 10 and then he'll stay in the net. If he's anything below a 6 out of 10, I think obviously if they win, chances are he'll stay in. But it's like, I know that doesn't really make sense. You kind of know it when you see it, right? But if you can get in that like just above average range, then he stays in. But if not, short leash, I agree. Like Joseph Wall's played well enough that he's earned the consideration here if Samsonov falters at any point.
Yeah, I love Joseph Wall. I think he's going to be a fantastic goaltender next year. He's coming off a high ankle sprain, which is really, really tough. Like, I'm a huge, huge Joseph Wall. I cannot state enough how big of a fan I am of Joseph Wall. However, I think that Samsonov is going to get a decent amount of leeway. Not huge. It's not the same as last year. He's not getting the same amount of leeway as last year, where last year it was like you're kind of hesitant to put Wall in. But I think he struggles first game one. Okay, you're going back to him game two. And then you evaluate from there. And then it's Wall, get ready. We'll see what goes on from there. But in terms of the goaltending, let's keep on the topic. Do you think Toronto's goaltender A, can play well enough for the Leafs to win in this series? Or what's the goaltending look like in this series?
I think absolutely. Like, you look at Bobrovsky last year. I think both are capable of getting hot. We saw Samsonov go on a roll. I think Joseph Hall's a pretty good goalie. And again, like Boston, I think the hope is that they have two good goalies, but no great goalies. I think that's the hope. I just think Toronto's a better team outside of goaltending, where if the goaltending's close, Toronto should win the series. If there is, obviously, I think in any series, if there's a huge goaltending discrepancy, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But I do think that the Leafs should be favored, and it's not like Wall and Samsonov have to face Austin Matthews, right? Like, Pasternak's a great scorer for sure, but it seems like it's 100-point scorer versus three, right? Like, I know Meyer didn't get there this year, but he was injured. He probably would have got there. He's definitely on pace. So I just don't see the forward depth on Boston. They had a very strong shooting percentage somehow, 5-on-5, Boston this year. But I just think Toronto's scoring depth this year is so impressive. And, you know, even if you do have better goaltending, as Boston does, they got to face better shooters, it looks like.
Yeah, no, and I'm just looking through, like, some of their top scorers, like we mentioned earlier off the top, like guys like Trent Frederick, Danton Heinen, Pavel Zacha, Morgan Geeky, all of them having, like, way above average shooting percentage years this year compared to like previous years and their career average. So it's like, it might be a situation where the shooters make Samsonov look good in this, when they might not be able to like capitalize and score because they might not be as quality of shooters as they've been showing throughout the season, just because maybe they get like a little bit of shooting percentage luck here. But yeah, I think it's going to be important that Samsonov keeps pace with with Swayman, or whoever's in net for the Leafs has to keep pace with whoever's in net for the Bruins. Cause like, if we don't, they're like, maybe they won't, like, they could steal us a game. They likely won't steal us many games this series, but they could potentially lose us games. And like, that's where the issue lies. We can't have that happen.
Exactly. And it's important to remember, this is still the same goaltender that the Leafs had last playoffs. Like, I realize this season has just been a complete jumbled mess for him. He was on waivers. He was quite literally on waivers this season at one point. However, it's still Ilya Samsonov. In theory, you should still feel the same way about him as you did last year. I'm a little unsettled based on the past couple starts, but I'm confident he can pull out a similar performance to what he did against Tampa Bay last year, right? Like, maybe one stinker, but a couple good enough good enough for you to win, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Perfect.
Yeah, you have a Wall too if he doesn't play well in one game. So I think either of them are capable of it. And then on the other end, like, the Leafs are the highest scoring 5-on-5 team this year on a permanent basis. I just think this is the deep, like, they've had, their issue has always been scoring come playoff time. I know Mike Johnston always says that in the broadcast. He's 100% right. And it just feels like you look at the Leafs from last year. The O'Reilly thing's huge. I have a lot of time for O'Reilly in his game, but you just look at the scores. Like, I feel like last year they had so many forwards that just couldn't shoot. Like, Alex Kerfoot comes to mind, obviously. Nola Chari is not a good shooter. Zach Aston-Reese is not a good shooter. This year, just, you have a playmaker like Max Domi, who's really added a lot of secondary scoring. You got Bertuzzi, you got Nyes, you got potentially Robertson, who's playing really well. I mean, we don't really know the injury situation with McMahon, Yarncroak, but those guys would be like, it just seems like there's so much secondary scoring this year where they're, you know, 9-10 deep in terms of guys that can score. I think that's going to be a problem for Boston's goaltending. They do have better defensemen like McAvoy and Lindholm are outstanding, but it just seems like this Leafs team is going to be able to score and find a way and beat a good goaltender, which hasn't really been the case. I mean, that's the hope at least.
Yeah. So let's switch over to the forwards then. Like, that was the one thing, as you mentioned, with the depth that was really, really getting me excited going into before the Florida trip, before the Detroit game, I would say. And then all of a sudden, okay, McMahon goes down. Domi goes down. Yarncroak, I don't know, his bonitis, as I mentioned at the beginning of the year, that almost got him traded, seemed to be acting up again for some odd reason. But if those three are available and come game one, just the lineup that you can put together is just so much more fun compared to last year, where last year it was like, okay, we got three solid lines, and then it just kind of, but like, there's a lot of guys in there that you're plugging in where you're like, just go out there, do some cardio, and don't get scored on, right?
They are worse defensively, I'd say, like, yes, in those forwards, so there is a bit of a trade-off. But I think the other thing is, you look at Boston from last year, and you just look at, like, how many guys aren't there. Like, obviously, Bergeron's the first name that comes to mind, but, you know, Tyler Bertuzzi was playing for Boston last year. Taylor Hall, Nick Foligno, even a guy like Garnet Hathaway, David Krejci. Like, it just seems like their depth just got completely decimated. Orlov on the back end. They still have, you know, they did well to get good, you know, cheap depth players, but this just isn't the same team. Like, I know there's questions about the Leafs maybe in the bottom six, especially at third line center there, but it seems like Boston has like a first line center question, a second line center question. And Marchand's getting older, right? Like 35. He's not the same guy he used to be. He's not that point per game guy anymore. At least he wasn't this season. I just think it's not quite the same Bruins team. It's not that they're not capable. I think they're wicked defensively, wicked goaltending. You can beat anyone. But you just look at the forwards, like Toronto versus Boston here, and it just feels like there's such an edge to Toronto that they should win the series, though we've said that, I guess, plenty of times before with Columbus, Montreal, et cetera.
Yeah, and imagine, like, and it seems like what we're going to be doing is, like, most likely is going with the Matthews, Domi, Bertuzzi as the top line, then Marner, Tavares, whoever's healthy on that left wing. Maybe it's Nylander if McMahon's not healthy, but like, if it's not Nylander, you have Nylander going up against the line of Van Riemsdyk, Geeky, and Frederick, or maybe some minutes against Lauko, Boqvist, and Megna. Like, that is like I'm salivating at the thought of like our third line going against that third line. Defensively, again, like you said, might not be the best, but I mean, listen, we've been a good, sound defensive team for the last 3 years, and it hasn't really worked out for us in the playoffs. And that's just the matter of fact, where it's like, Kevin, like you said, Johnson says it on the broadcast every single time, we need to be able to score in the playoffs, and we're sacrificing a bit of defense to our defensive, like, I guess, team defense to get these forwards who are more skilled and can score. But like, we're going to see if that sacrifice is worth it, right? I'd rather play the variance and just have a team that leans a little bit more scoring than a team that leans a little bit more defense personally. And that's what we're going with this year.
Exactly. So you guys have to pick who outside of, do you want to, I guess. Okay. So outside of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, who has the most amount of points on the Leafs?
Can we pick Tavares?
Okay. That's a valid.
Oh, you mean in the series or for this season?
No, in the series. In the series, this wasn't okay.
I thought this was a trivia question.
No, sorry. God. I framed that horribly. In this series, in the playoffs, outside of the top three players that I mentioned, who's going to get the most amount of points for the Leafs? I'll throw Tavares in there too. Outside of the power play, he's not the biggest producer, right?
Who do you guys got? Power play one, though, so I'll go hand.
That's true.
I'm gonna go with Domi because if he's healthy and playing, right? Like if he's healthy and playing, because
and out of the penalty box.
Okay, but I don't know. I like that he's clicked with that Matthews and Bertuzzi line, and I think that he could be a really good distributor for them.
Is this stat I saw on Domi? Like relative goals for when he's on the ice, he was leading the league this year. So
wow,
basically when he's on the ice, how often the Leafs score versus when he's not on the ice, just a huge difference. So again, he's probably not going to be on the top power play now that everyone's now that the big four are there, but the playmaking has really been quite impressive. I think we knew he was a great playmaker heading into the season, but he certainly hasn't disappointed. And you put him with Matthews. I was worried about that line defensively for a while, but I do think that three-line approach against Boston is the way to go when you have such a depth advantage up front.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'd probably be stapling that. I'm just trying to think of like who you would staple the – like because the Marner line is not – it's not necessarily like a shutdown line, but it's like you could argue it's maybe the more defensive one. But I guess you could kind of argue – yeah, that's probably the more defensive one. If you were to go line matching, who would you match them up with? Or is it just almost like you're fine with all three of them going against any of their top three lines?
Just Pastrnak you're worried about, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, I think you're fine with Matthews up against Pastrnak. I think if Marner's there with Tavares, you're at least okay with it. And then Kampf is going to take a lot of defensive zone stars, maybe without Reeves, right? Maybe if to me, if Pastrnak's out there, offensive zone faceoff, I don't want Reeves by choice. But I do think he'll get – I mean, you look at Reeves' minutes over the years in the playoffs. He is known for no goals against and no goals for. Like, he just – he doesn't play that much. But when he's on, it's just, like, fast forward, right? So I think the Leafs would happily take that. I'm curious – I think probably Matthews against Pastrnak, but
– okay. I would say Tavares. From what – kind of the pattern that I saw, it was a limited sample size that they were trying these different sort of lines, but I noticed that it was Tavares getting, you know, a lot of that shutdown kind of role when it was him. It was Tavares, McMahon, and Marner together. I highly doubt if they do Tavares, Nylander together that they're going to kind of switch it like that, because then they're obviously going to put Marner first line. They're going to give them the tougher matchups, but I agree with what you're saying in the sense that David Kampf, a lot of defensive zone, John Tavares, or whoever, Marner line, essentially, is going to get the tougher matchups, and then they're going to try to favor the other line, which, I mean, when you split it up like that, like, sounds pretty good, no?
Yeah, I'm going to be making use of that natural stat trick tool. I freaking love it. The line opposite, like, what is it? Opposition? Whatever it is. I love it. But yeah, throughout the playoffs, that's going to be fun. I mean, hopefully we can use it for a long time. But yeah, we were looking at that and it seemed like that JT line is going to get the shutdown minutes. It's just what line combo is like the one that you want to shut down? I guess Pastrnak, right? Because the DeBrus, Coyle, Marchand line, you're not too – they obviously have some offensive upside, but it's nowhere near – obviously, the impact of Pastrnak. Yeah, sorry, I was just talking through that.
Their finishing percentage has been great this year on Boston. That's been the one surprising thing. But I will ask, kind of like, I have an idea of what you're going to say, but what are your ideal lines? Say, everyone's healthy game one. What are your ideal lines come game one?
I wouldn't be opposed to switching this up if it's not working. But I think to start, I would just go with that Bertuzzi-Matthews-Domi line that's been pretty effective. Because it just allows you to go Marner and Nylander kind of driving their own lines. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like, you know, maybe the Bruins with Pastrnak on that top line do okay. Maybe that second line that you mentioned with Marchand and DeBrus does okay. But that the Leafs should be able to kind of crush that third line matchup. If McMahon's healthy, I think McMahon's a pretty underrated player here if he can be if he's healthy. I like that McMahon, Tavares, and Marner line. And then maybe you go Bertuzzi, Holmberg, Nylander, I guess. Oh, sorry, Bertuzzi's on line one.
Yeah.
It'd be like maybe Nyes,
or Yarncroke if he's healthy.
Yarncroke, yeah.
Yarncroke, probably the L-Swede line.
Mm-hmm. And then I think they're going to – so Yarncroke, Holmberg, and then
– Nylander.
Nylander, sorry, that was who it was. And then that fourth line, you're able to put Matthew Nyes on, who we saw in a few games, him against the opposing team's fourth lines. And he was fantastic. He's really growing into his own. He's still getting there in terms of his full capabilities. But I mean, Matthew Nyes has some great ability. I'm really, really, really excited to see what he can bring to the Leafs lineup this year, because last year I was impressed with him in the playoffs against Tampa. So Tampa for a short while, Florida as well. So
I know this is getting really deep in the weeds, but obviously that means like the fourth line would be Nyes, Kampf, and Reeves. Would you even like consider
Or Doer,
I guess. I was gonna say, would you even consider putting Roberts in there? But I guess it's like there's there's almost no space for him, because I think I'd rather have Doer in on the fourth line over Robertson, just based off pure penalty kill ability. Just get another penalty killer in there for us. But yeah, I just forgot about Doer.
But in terms of Robertson, though, I mean, that is really something great to have. When was the last time? Well, I think they scratched Matthew Nyes game one last year, didn't they? Or something stupid. They scratched someone stupid along the way at one point. They scratched Michael Bunting actually after his suspension, which they lost that game. So there is that. But like, when was the last time in terms of a player? Okay, the Leafs get shut out game one per se, or they get shut out. The scoring's not really there. Why the hell wouldn't you put Nick Robertson in? He's a fantastic shooter. Every time you scratch him the next game, maybe that's the strategy. Scratch him game one, game two. Hater, baby.
I love it. I forgot about that Michael Bunting suspension.
Analytics. Yeah. Yeah, who takes a suspension this year? Jesus.
I was just about to ask that question. I'm like, can I retract my Domi statement saying he's going to get the most points? Because he's like I would hit him at minus 110 for this series. Like, you just know it's coming. Oh, you know it's coming. But I guess before we get into our next topic, just want to give a quick shout out, to our sponsors over at DraftKings. We know that the hockey game moves fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. I mean, it's playoff time. Leafs right now, 14-1 to win the cup. Currently series winner, plus 105. Listen, if you want to bet, like little tip for everyone, if you want to bet the Leafs win the cup, you're better off just betting the series winner and just rolling it over to them to get to the Stanley Cup finals. You'll get better odds that way. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to bet the Leafs outright to win the cup, consider doing that. Instead, download DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW York or text HOPE-NEW York 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please pay responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. And always, if you ever want to reach out to us on Twitter about gambling, make sure you do so. Just if you ever need help with anything, never bet more than you can afford to lose. Set a budget, all those kinds of things. Bet responsible.
Yeah, don't ask me. I fucking suck.
Yeah, don't ask Piss. Ask me.
What was it? Last episode, I was telling people how I'm on the schneid about the John Tavares anytime goal. I forgot to bet the next game. He's gone on a 4-game goal streak since. I haven't bet it once. I've been betting Nylander and Marner, who can't find the back of the net for the life of them.
You got to hit me up for a little bit of bankroll management now, because you're seeming getting deep in the weeds, and now I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you, Pez. I'm worried.
I lost $25 over this year.
That's okay. That's, as long as you can afford to do that.
Overly good. Worrisome about $25 over this year. Yeah. That would be an issue right there. So anyways, I think that pretty much settles with the forwards. Kevin, you mentioned a stat with Domi, just to kind of close it off. I did want to say Evolving Wild goals above replacement. This year on the Leafs, he was actually in total goals above replacement. He was fourth on the Leafs, and that's above Nylander, Bertuzzi, and Tavares. In terms of offensive goals above replacement, he was actually second on the Leafs. In terms of defensive, he was really, really low. Probably he was second last next to Noah Gregor. Oops. So yeah, Max Domi, overly impressive, an impressive year this year. So let's get into the defense now, shall we? I said it a few episodes ago, but do the Leafs have the worst defensive crop out of any playoff team?
No, dude, the Capitals. No, stop, stop. The Capitals are way worse. Stop.
Other than the Crapitals.
I can find someone else who's worse right now.
Find them. Kevin, what do you think about the Leafs defensive crew this year?
It's not great. obviously, like, if Morgan Rielly can do his annual step up come playoff time, that would be a big help. I think Jake McCabe's awesome. I love watching Jake McCabe. But Lyubushkin was one of their bigger deadline pickups. They didn't really do a whole lot at the deadline, like just kind of added around the edges. I kind of wish they were a little bit more aggressive now, especially if I knew they were going to play Boston. I just think there's a decent amount of opportunity here. Obviously, there's future implications for that, but Lyubushkin got off to a really good start. I just don't think he's been all that strong as of late. TJ Brody's had a down year. I think he's going to be a big X factor here just because we know what he's capable of from previous seasons. But it's iffy. Like Joel Edmondson, I don't know if he's a big difference maker.
I think they like him, though. What predict what's the game one defensive crew that the Leafs go with?
It looked like Brody was on the outside looking in. I would have him in the inside. I would play him.
Yeah.
I would probably take out Lyubushkin just based on recent play.
Would you go Rielly Brody over Rielly Lyubushkin?
I would, but I don't know if they would.
I don't know if I would. I think I would go Rielly Lyubushkin. I really don't want Brody in if he's playing the off wing. I feel like he can't do it anymore. I feel like he can barely play his strong wing, unfortunately, too. It's terrible to say. He's had a rough life year, as I always like to throw in there, which is why this has all come to what it is. But I don't know. I think based off that last game that we see Brody sit, as crazy as it is, I believe TJ Brody has the most 5-on-5 minutes played out of any Leafs defenseman this year. I think he sits game one and they're putting Joel Edmondson, however you pronounce it, ahead of him.
With Ullegren?
Yeah, exactly. And where that actually makes sense, I'm not the biggest Joel Edmondson fan. I didn't love the trade. I thought it was unnecessary, especially if you're sitting Simon Benoit. But think about this. If you're going Brody Liljegren versus Joel Edmondson, Liljegren, the one thing that provides you is a lot better net front defense from Joel Edmondson, because hopefully they don't call cross checks in the playoffs. And Brody's not the greatest in front of the net. So I think being able to clear that net front is really going to be a big, big factor for them. So that's where I think they're going to go. Rielly Lyubushkin, Benoit McCabe, Edmondson, Liljegren.
I think that's what they're going to go with, and I think that's the best right now. But again, it's almost like similar to the goalie situation. Short leash for anyone who makes a mistake. We could see mostly anyone come out of the lineup here. It could be Benoit. I think only Rielly and McCabe are for sure locked in no matter what happens. If Benoit makes a mistake, I love this play this year. He's been our best, according to Evolving Wild's even strength defensive metric at 5-on-5. He's been the best Leaf this year in that metric, but... Yeah, he has the highest EV def on Evolving Wild. We've seen that they've been not afraid to scratch him later on in the season after he's played really well. And if he makes a mistake, I could see him taking a seat. If Liljegren makes a mistake, I could see him taking a seat. Right. I just don't think that the way Brody has played, especially down this stretch, he's looked a lot we've kind of given him every opportunity now to be hey, we want you to play. You play a lot of minutes for us. We want you to play, but you got to play better. He just hasn't really done it. And he did not look good in the back-to-back games of the Florida and the Tampa series. He was getting lost in the zone, unable to make the right sorts. It's just all over the place, it seems like. And he just doesn't seem like he's as good anymore. I don't know if it's losing the step, whatever it is about it. It's just we've seen a very big decline on him this year. So I'm okay with those lines that you mentioned. I think Lyubushkin and Riley work as a pair. Yeah. Edmondson. I think I'm a little higher on Edmondson than most people. I believe a little bit more in Edmondson than most people. So, we'll see if I'm wrong on that.
I think they'll change up their lineup throughout the. If Brody's out game one, I think he'll play eventually. It's just a matter of when. Exactly. Unless, you know, if the Leafs win in five, then who knows if everything's going perfectly. But
what if they win in four?
Maybe he doesn't play. But if it's 5, 6, 7, obviously injuries happen too. I think they're going to be rotating there in the back end. And then somehow, some way, there's always an 11-7 come playoff time. So who knows?
They can't do that.
Every year. You say that every year.
But this is the year where I'd want them to go 13-5, low key. I don't even know if that's a thing, but like
that should be something you can bet on. Will there be an 11-7?
We haven't seen one yet this year. Like last year, we saw it, and I was like, okay, I hope they bury this because they were just taking way too many men penalties, and they were just horrible on the change and just giving up way too many chances off the change. But we haven't seen it yet this year, so who knows? But I don't know. As Jason said, I would rather more forwards be playing because you actually have more guys that could put the biscuit in the basket this year as opposed to the defense. I am glad, though, that it's like less of a kerfuffle fuck than it was last year. Like last year, going into game 6, I believe it was, they scratched Justin Hall. And in replacement, they put 2 defensemen in, Gustafsson and Liljegren. That was insane. I don't know how that worked, but somehow it did.
you don't think they're going 11-7 at all, eh? We'll see.
I don't know if they do, but I'm...
You can find me in Lake Ontario if they do. I'll be going for laps. I'll be swimming laps. Just because how sick I am. That's how I work off. I work off the pain through exercise.
Anyways, on the Boston side, what Boston defenseman scares you the most?
I think it's got to be Charlie McAvoy, but Lindholm's really good too.
Yeah, I know you too.
That's kind of why I brought it up. I mean, I think it's a debate between the two, is it not?
They're both probably better than Riley. Like Riley sometimes
playoff Riley though.
Yeah, playoff Riley maybe not, but. I don't ever know with Riley, like, is this real, this playoff thing? Like, if so, it's like, why don't you just try a little harder on the regular season when there's a big losing streak that needs to get snapped? So if they're playing those two on different pairs, it's kind of scary. But if they end up playing them together, I think you definitely have to go 3 lines then because, to me, you don't want 2 of the big 4 up against that stacked defense pairing. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they'll probably split them up, but we'll see. It's going to be a long series.
Yeah.
We'll
see what, it is also the playoffs. I mean, it is possible that they just shorten the bench to 3 defensemen and go like, go, 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 like 3 to 4 defensemen kind of thing. And just toss them out over the bench as much as they can. Really. Like I think of all years this year, I think we're going to see a heavy load being put on McCabe and Riley and then whoever kind of rotates in that way, especially McCabe on the right side. I think he's going to stick there. The one thing before I forget this, I was watching back the Florida series from last year, the round 2. And just one of the easiest kind of fixes that I saw on a couple of the goals was just, I think McCabe is going to be, he was not very good last year in the playoffs. I think he's going to just be way better. And like, what gives you grounds to say that? Well, okay, we have 3 forwards deep on one of the plays and he just decided to passively pinch on it. Like, brother, where are you going here? There was another one. It was the Leafs were on the PK. Duclair gets behind him, breakaway on the PK. Are you serious? It's just a lot of weird mistakes that I was like, this is not my Jake McCabe.
I think that Brody McCabe pair did really well against Tampa, at least shutting down Kucherov, and then the Florida series. It was a weird, like, even if you look back at Marner last year, like, Marner was, he had amazing numbers against Tampa. struggled against Florida. Everyone kind of just remembers the Florida. Same with even Nylander. I thought Nylander wasn't that good against Tampa, and then was their best player against Florida.
Yeah.
Nylander's the one guy has the weirdest playoff stats ever. If you've just filtered to 5-on-5 Nylander stats, they're not very flattering at all. I think he had 2 5-on-5 points against Tampa.
Yeah. Finished with he often ends up on the third line somehow. Mm-hmm. One benched. Way or another, right?
Yeah. But guess what? At 4-on-4, I think he scored. At 6-on-5, he scored a couple points. And then just like all these random miscellaneous times, I think one or two on the power play here and there. These miscellaneous times, he was putting the puck in the net. I think he finished the series with 7 points. Still played overall, I would still call that good. 7 points in 6 games, I'll take that all day. But just like kind of weird how he goes from like benched, not playing very well, and then the next shift just turns it on, puts it in the back of the net. Like
that, but that it's weird, but that's also like that's actually just William Nylander. That's just that, William like you Nylander. Described him perfectly. I know we were talking about defense a little bit before this, and I wanted to mention, Kevin, you talked about how if they split up those two defensemen, Lindholm and McAvoy, you want to keep the big three split up. If we ever have any opportunities where that third pairing is in their zone, I want to see Marner, Tavares, Nylander out there, and I want to see those guys get like that line together whenever you have an opportunity to kind of give Nylander just a tad bit more ice time at 5-on-5, maybe an extra 2 minutes, maybe two, three, four shifts there, just because I think that's going to be super – super important to take advantage of, like, because the defensive core of the Bruins is good, but it really does fall off once you go with the 5 and 6 with Patrick Wolderspoon and Kevin Shattenkirk. Like, that's something that you can exploit and take advantage of.
Yeah, I think it's actually if they played them together, if they played Lindholm and McAvoy together, then I don't want to split them for sure, because I don't want they're so good at shutdown hockey, those two, that you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket at that point. But
yeah,
to me, I think yes, Boston does have the defensive advantage when you look at those two. To me, Toronto's a better 5-on-5 team. You look at Boston, you look at how they did in terms of expected goals. I think they were 17th this year at 5-on-5, is not all that obviously not all that impressive. Now they have a good shooting percentage, they have a good save percentage. They deserve credit for that. I think part of that save percentage will be, as I said earlier, like a little bit, it won't be as much of an advantage just because your backup goaltender matters a little bit less. But I think where the Leafs can lose this series is A, obviously goaltending, and that's the case for any playoff series, but especially one where, you know, the Leafs do have some question marks. And then B, the penalty kill, and just special teams in general. I think Boston definitely has a better penalty kill. Toronto's power play is probably a little better, but we've all seen, you know, year after year, some struggles come playoff time on the power play at times. So I don't know if it's a huge advantage that the Leafs have. It's probably just very minimal or even in terms of power play, but you look at the penalty kill, and I think that's, you know, Boston's throwing out Lindholm for probably more than a minute, Brandon Carlo, Charlie McAvoy. The Leafs just aren't doing that. The penalty kill has been a huge problem all year. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the number one thing to watch and to be concerned about if you're a Leafs fan, because O'Reilly's not here anymore. Even someone like Kerfoot was a good penalty killer. Mm-hmm. Justin Hall, for all his struggles, was a half decent penalty killer. Like, that's, to me, that's the biggest area for concern is can the Leafs stay disciplined and stay out of the box? And whether that be, you know, kind of walking the line or not throwing the puck over the glass, which always seems to kill them, no too many men penalties. I think that's the scary part, right? Like, you can easily close your eyes and picture Pasternak scoring a bunch of power play goals against this kill. So it's, can you stay out of the box? Can you stay disciplined? Because you don't have the penalty kill and the personnel to elude danger all that often. You might be able to do it a little bit, but I think you're playing with fire if you're taking penalties against Boston.
Yeah, special teams tilt definitely in Boston's favor. And 5-on-5, you're right. Like, I think that's the perfect split where it's the Leafs should be able to dominate at 5-on-5, and it's going to really, not to be cliche, but it's going to come down to the special teams, as it feels like it always kind of does in the playoffs. Something I'm looking forward to at 5-on-5 is the Leafs are kind of this year have been, like I mentioned this a lot this year, the Leafs kind of have been built as a team that can kind of outscore their expected goals talent. I think they're above average shooters compared to like what an expected goals would rate them. Obviously, Matthews is a prime example of that. Even Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Bertuzzi, Domi. I think those guys are all, compared to their expected goals number, are on average, will probably outperform that number. But then you look on the other side, the Boston Bruins are also a team that year after year are able to outperform their expected goals against numbers, where it's like they allow fewer goals against than what their expected numbers say. And that's obviously like, it's going to be interesting to see that kind of like push and pull dynamic of like a team that has like is a good, like above average shooters against team that is like just really good at suppressing goals for however reason, how they do that. Could be goaltending, could just be style of team play. It's going to be interesting to watch how that battle kind of plays out. Hopefully we can get the advantage there.
I think it's just the only thing that I think works in Toronto's favor there is just a big part of Boston's success in terms of goals against is just having a good goalie for 82 games, right? Like they played two goalies this year, I believe. It was like split 50-50, both 915s, right? Like a lot of teams, if you look at their numbers, like they'll have just a backup that can't stop a puck and their numbers take a hit. So I think in the grand scheme of things, I think that's encouraging for the Leafs. And again, like if you look at Florida, like I think that team's a nightmare to play against. Like just their forward depth, when you look at like Tkachuk, Reinhart, Barkov, Verhaeghe, Sam Bennett, like even a guy like Evan Rodriguez is a depth piece. It's not that Boston can't beat Toronto. Obviously, it was always the Leafs have less points. It's probably a closer 50-50 series, but
yeah,
I would say the Leafs probably have like a 5%, you know, instead of being 45-55 in a Florida series, I think they're the, you know, 52-48 maybe for the Leafs.
Yeah. There's also with Florida this year, offensively, they actually like their numbers weren't that great. I did notice though, their on ice shooting percentage at 5-on-5 was like pretty noticeably lower than Toronto. So I was just really worried of like a shooting regression happening in that series where not only are they tight defensively, but then it's like, okay, Evan Rodriguez suddenly a guy who shoots the puck for Leafs fans. He's the equivalent of Alex Kerfoot when he shoots the puck. He literally is when you compare the numbers. I had a bad feeling. I'm like, I'm seeing the 7% on ice shooting percentage around there. I think that's what it is. I'm like, Evan Rodriguez is going to somehow bury five in this series. And then Matthew Tkachuk is on like the worst shooting bender in terms of an overall season since God knows how long. All of a sudden regression's going to hit with him and he's going to start finding the back of the net, left, right, center. That's what I was really, really worried about. Just like the puck luck going absolutely against the Leafs and against the Panthers. But guess what? Against Boston, knock on wood. Really loudly, but I don't think their shooting percentage in PDO can get any higher because it's like the highest in the league right now. But, you know, in terms of what you said about the goaltending, goal saved above expected for the Boston Bruins. Swayman's fifth in the league. Linus Ullmark's eighth. Damn. it's pretty damn good.
Pretty good. But we only have to play one of them. You don't have to play two of them. I mean, maybe we'll have to play two of them.
Hey,
but
one net.
You know what? There's only one net. Exactly.
It's only one net. A lot of room for mental mistakes. You know, someone's got to somehow like insert that in some way, shape or form between that goalie. They have too nice of a relationship. Someone has to destroy that. I've had enough of it.
Go ahead. The other thing I'm kind of curious of, and there's no way to like quantify it, but I wonder if there's at least slightly, like there's always going to be pressure in Toronto. I wonder if there's at least slightly less pressure now that they've won a series and got that off their back. And then you look at Boston and they're coming off a year where they completely choked, right? Like amazing, amazing, amazing regular season team, heavy favorites against Florida, somehow lose. I'm wondering if the Bruins are the team that's gripping their sticks a little bit tighter this year rather than the Leafs, but it's interesting because I do wonder too, like that it felt like Boston just flat out tanked to play the Toronto. Like how do you get that little shot against Washington?
Yeah, no, it did feel that way. And if they did, that's like a wild, wild thing for them to do. And we won't really know, I guess. But I hope that's what the narrative is. And I hope every single Leaf thinks like that. Cause like, We need that. Like, even that, I'm not going to say no to that extra little bit of motivation for this team, of saying, I'm sure this team is already motivated enough with the history yeah. that they have with the Boston Bruins. Like, the core has been through it. Like, those guys know. And I'm sure, obviously, the newer guys here, like Max Domi, like I tweeted this out when they played Boston last time. It looked like he was a part of that heartbreak. Like, I feel like when he was a kid, he was watching in 2013. He was there. He was there in spirit. So, just to have that little extra bit of motivation. Also with Boston here, like with the gripping the sticks too tight, they know that like every year kind of from here on out, it's going to get tougher. Pasternak's 27, Marchand's 35, McAvoy's 26, Lindholm's 30. Like their core is older now, right? And they've already lost, like you said, they've lost Bergeron and Krejci, right? So, I mean, I don't think it's that way though.
Because they lost so many of those guys from last season. And then I don't think a lot of Boston fans had huge expectations about this season. I was at the beginning of the year a little bit optimistic for them, saying like, okay, they still got same goaltending, same-ish kind of defensive structure. Like, I think right now everything's been kind of gravy in terms of like, wow, we didn't expect to be in this position. For the Leafs fans, I feel like a lot of people are pissed off in the sense that like they haven't gone, they made it to the second round finally. Okay. But the expectation is the cup. You have three of the best young players from, like, those guys had 60 plus points in their first season. How many teams have three rookies with 60 plus points in one season? You just re-signed two of them recently to over $11 million deals. And now you're going to give Marner $11+ million and you can't even get out of the first round again. Like, I think a lot of people are going to be telling.
I think it's less pressure than last year though.
I've
at least won around. Like,
yeah. A lot of people hated Dubas. So I think
it'll be a bit of a different storyline, at least.
A little bit. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll give you this. I think it's a little bit less pressure until if they go into January 1, then after losing in the first round and they don't do something drastic, I think a lot of people are going to start turning on Bradtree Living. Am I wrong?
I'm sure the people who would turn on Bradtree Living are the ones who like kind of never wanted him in the first place. I think you can't really turn on a guy after 1 year. That's like,
I am creating narratives out of nothing right now. I love it. I will say that.
We gotta see his offseason.
Let me pull this narrative out here because this is the one that's been in Toronto for like years now, where we're not tough enough, right? This is the first time I think in a playoff series in like I don't know since like I've been on like. Since I've been old enough, I guess we'll just call it that I can think when like the Leafs are maybe the tougher team in the series. If you look top to bottom on the roster, do you agree that the Leafs are a tougher team than Boston? And do you think it even matters that much?
Ooh. I think they're tougher than Boston. Yeah.
Look at
all the, like you look at Reeves to start with, and then you look at Bertuzzi, look at Domi, look at McCabe, Edmondson.
And was not afraid to throw in
exactly.
Like
Edmondson is a big boy.
If you look on the other side, like the Bruins, to me, they're just kind of dirty. Like McAvoy, he's not really like a fighter. He's just kind of he has a couple suspensions under his belt, does a little dirty things. Marchand, we know the history and story about that. There's a difference between like being like more physically imposing and being kind of like dirty. And like I think they're starting to fall into that camp. Like more so than the physical, I guess, camp. Cause like Pavel, I look at their forwards. It's like, who can do it? Like we played them, they beat us and they went on a trade for Patrick Maroon, right? Is he going to play? I don't know. But that was like a big signal to me that like, hey, I think we're more physical. And if it matters, like I'm sure the Boomers are super happy about it this year that like we're the more physical team, but I don't know how much it matters. I think it will help us on the forecheck maybe, but something just to have under your belt, I guess, is what I'm
something to cheer for.
They did have, they didn't maybe have as many fighters last year, but they did have like,
yes,
just racked up, like Luke Shen racked up tons of hits. Achari racked up tons of hits.
Yeah.
McCabe was a big deadline addition. I think sometimes it gets a little bit underrated, like how big and strong they were last year. But I do think this year, like, it's one level up. I don't know how much it matters, but to me, it's like, yes, it's a positive, but you have to be disciplined because
100%
they don't have the penalty kill to back up the extra penalties. So it's really got to walk the line. I think if there's a blowout and like the penalties just don't matter, like if it's 5-1 with 10 minutes to go in the third, sure. Like, let's see Reeves out there as much as possible. But I think that's just going to, like, we've seen it in plenty of years where, whether it be Nazem Kadri with his penalties, we've seen our fair share, Bunting last year, we've seen our fair share of suspensions and 5-minute majors.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
Too many. Clifford five. Was it the
Clifford? It was Kyle Clifford, but that in a way helped them, right?
2 years ago, yeah.
They remember that? Right?
They killed it and then they won. They killed it in that game. Yeah. But yeah, and then they put Simmons in. They're like, yeah, big bad Wayne Simmons. And he took 2 unnecessary penalties and they lost game 2 as a result. So just a reminder what, you know, toughness can kind of backfire in that sort of sense. So we've gone through goaltending. We've gone through the defense. We've gone through forwards. What do you guys have as your X factor for Leafs versus Bruins?
In terms of a player or in terms of like
anything? Up for interpretation.
Kevin, I'll go right now, give you some time to think about it. My X factor is going to be the play of these three defensemen, Ilya Lyubushkin, Joel Edmondson, and
the supporting cast defense
and Simon Benoit. That's my X factor, because I think those are the guys with other than Liljegren are with the shortest leash, let's call it that. And they're the new guys that came in. And that's kind of like the guys that Brad Schilling put his stamp on to be like, this is what I want the identity of this decor to be moving forward. And if they can come out and play how I think the team envisions them to play, where they're sound defensively, make simple first passes and kind of let the forwards do the work on the breakout, keep things tidy in zone, I think it's going to be a clean, clean series for the Leafs. If not, we got some big problems. But yeah, that's my X factor.
That's an interesting one. Kevin?
So I don't think goalie's an acceptable answer, because that's always the X factor in any series. I think the PK would be huge and just special teams in general. I liked your answer. Like, I was going to – I'll even add Brody, because I think Brody's going to get in at some point. Mm-hmm. If Brody's all of a sudden last year regular season Brody, like, that would just be massive. Like, they really – any defenseman, because of how weak they are there, any defenseman really stepping up would just be – if they could get a Luke Shenren out of Ilya Lyubushkin or something, I think – so I agree with you there. I guess just to switch it up, I'll go – I'm going to go off the board. I'll go Pontus Holmberg just as like a...
Oh!
I'm going to go...
I like it.
They just have... Like, I think the Leafs are going to have a good first line. They're going to have a good second line. If that... And their fourth line is going to be really boring. Mm-hmm. I think if that third line can have a clear edge, and if they have William Nylander there, that you hope they would. But the question for me is the center, right? Like, I think both wingers on the third line, assuming the Leafs are pretty healthy, are going to be pretty, pretty capable. I think Holmberg is a major question mark, especially when you compare it to who they had last year there in O'Reilly. If Holmberg can look competent and drive play, I think that would be a pretty big X factor.
That's a huge one. You guys came up with 2 really good ones. All I was going to fucking say was goaltending. It's so goddamn boring. Oh my God.
Well,
I suck at this. But I to your point, though, Pontus Holmberg, right now the Bruins at their third line center position have Morgan Geekie, and fourth line center is Jesper Boqvist, who had a pretty good season as well. Both those guys had good seasons. Like, let's not discount. I understand James Van Riemsdyk. Like, when you hear that, you're like, Jesus, they got a dinosaur back there. But Geekie and Frederick both had pretty good seasons right there. So that's what makes that point. Just that extra emphasis. Like, I realize Tampa, like, Boston doesn't have huge depth, but they have like 3 really good third lines, as disrespectful as it is to call it that. But they have like, it's like, okay, wow. Like, that's a good third line there. Right. Unfortunately it's their second line. Oh, okay. Right. So just as I just said, Pontus Holmberg, that's a good one right there. Mm-hmm. Emily Kill was also a good one, and The supporting cast D was a really, really good one. I'm going to go depth scoring in this one. And I'm not saying Domi. I'm not saying Tavares. I'm not saying Bertuzzi because those guys are top six. I mean, third and fourth line score, like Bobby McMahon and Matthew Nyes in terms of scoring. I really think a few points for them to have a huge series and chip in is going to go a really, really long way. But kind of away from Jason, but as Kevin and I kind of are alluding to, I really think, like, as you mentioned, Kevin, the big strength of the Leafs in this series is their forwards, and they really, really need to take it to Boston. If they're going to win, they really got to beat them by a good margin at forward because, yeah, got some worries in the other spots. But, yeah, you guys got a prediction.
I hate it.
I'll start.
I mean, it's got to be Leafs in five. I just don't think we're winning on home ice. I don't want us to go to game six because we're gonna lose it. I just don't trust our crowd. I hope that we can travel well.
Trust the crowd. Is the crowd an X factor now?
I guess so. If we can get the right guys in the building, talk to like the corporate crew and get them to donate some tickets to some fans in the freaking in the tailgate area. But
wow,
maybe we can pump the tailgates the sound from the tailgate area into the arena. I don't know, but yeah. I'm gonna say Leafs in five because if it comes back to the Leafs in six, it's either going to game seven or we're losing the series there. That's what I think.
Kevin?
I'll go the opposite. I'll go Leafs in six. Leafs, but I'm going opposite in terms of Leafs.
I love the six prediction just because it gives you that little bit of wiggle room where you're not giving the other team too much credit. I'll give them a couple games here and there.
Two wins.
But six. I'm going Leafs in seven. I think this will really go the distance. And I am going to predict that there's going to be a stretch of games where one team romps the other. I think we're going to have a similar situation to what we had in Tampa against Tampa last year, where after game one and two, you're like, what the hell? Where is this series going to go? Because either one team beats the hell out of the other one, or the other team beats the hell out of it, right? So I'm going Leafs in seven. So we got five, six, seven. What a perfect kind of line we got there. You guys got any other points, X factors, takes you want to throw out there before we close this off?
We predicted Leafs in five, Leafs in six, Leafs in seven. So sweep incoming.
Whoa! Anyways, with my betting luck, I should be betting the Bruins just to throw that in the universe. But anyways, thank you everyone for listening.